So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
Well, it is July 13, 2022. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
I'm good. We are in New York, in Accord, New York, up in the Hudson Valley. It has been hot and it got very humid yesterday with the storm that came in. I hadn't checked out where that storm came from, but judging from talking to some of our installers, I'm guessing it came from the south. And
nice,
it's been hot.
Nice.
And it's beautiful here. Owen said it reminds him of home. So we're enjoying New York. New Yorkers are definitely people I haven't been around before, and it's been fun to kind of watch all the other families and how they interact with each other. And you know, because it's a different culture here than on the West Coast for sure. We're enjoying our stay in Accord. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just got back. Was in Ohio visiting some old friends, and we had real nice weather there. Sunshine, 80 degrees. That was nice because out here in Washington, we're not, I guess we're finally getting some sun, but not too much. Like a week or two ago is when it really just started, but happy to get some outdoor weather finally.
Yes, you know, my family always jokes that summer starts on July 5th in Washington. So that about
that's
adds
pretty
up
darn
to the
close.
Time frame.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yes. Yep. Well, I think we are going to talk a little bit about your trip. That's exciting. And, you know, talk a little bit about just being outside and how families can get outside together, how families do get outside together, how playing outside has changed for, you know, our generation from your generation down to my generation and to our current generations, what that looks like. So I'm excited to have kind of a fun episode. We've been pretty serious the last couple episodes.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we definitely, I think our podcast is due for a vacation. So we're going to talk about fun stuff today, but I think it's funny how, you know, it's almost like an old time cliche, go outside and play.
Yes.
You know, just holler at the kids, like, get out of my hair. I don't even know if that's, you know, that's not such a PC maybe even thing to say anymore, but I think in many ways that's still sort of the way to go. But, you know, I got to go outside and play big time this past weekend. I went to Cedar Point, which is one of the sort of top amusement parks in the world, really. They have some of the tallest and fastest roller coasters on the planet. We went and rode like 8 roller coasters. We were at the park for 12 hours. We got there at 10 and didn't leave until 10. So, you know, they've got coasters there that are like 300 feet high and go 90 miles an hour. It was awesome. It was so
that
much fun.
That sounds so fun.
Oh man, it was great. And the lines were not bad. So I don't think I guess there was maybe one ride that we had to wait in line for an hour, but you know, even that is not a big deal because sometimes you get stuck in lines for like 2-3 hours and all this stuff when you're at amusement parks. But we just went from one to the next, and Cedar Point has a meal ticket plan pass thing, so you can buy like a day admission plus meals. And so, you know, we ate like three times while we were there just because we could. We were going to eat a fourth time, but then it was like the restaurants had already closed after 9 o'clock when we were on our way out. Yeah, it was totally fun. Since I've gotten kind of older, I've gotten more sensitive to motion. I have these weird things going on with my ears. It's like, I have a hole in one of my eardrums. And so one of my ears is pressurized and the other isn't. So you can just imagine what that does or like motion sickness. But I got motion sickness medicine. So I got one of those patches. You like put a patch behind your ear and it's like delivers medicine for motion sickness, and it worked like a charm.
Good.
Yeah, it was actually funny because there was one ride where it was just throwing me around in every which direction, like upside down, sideways. And my mind is like, oh man, I'm going to be sick. My body's like, huh? What do you mean?
Got you.
And then my mind is like, never mind. Whatever, we're good.
So I was like, okay. On a commercial for those patches.
I know. Yeah, totally. But yeah, no, it was just fun to get outside and walk around and just be, you know, hang out with my old friends. So that was cool.
That is super.
What have you been up to? You get any sun this past weekend?
Yes, Jack's been a little under the weather, so he was kind of confined to bed and a little bit up in the evening. So I just had the kids out, you know, around the campground doing stuff. This campground's pretty cool. There's one of those airbags for the kids to jump on. Of course, we had pool time. They've got an open air activity center where they also have a little arcade, so we played a few games and had lunch at the snack shack, and then they had a band on Saturday night. I joked that we've seen a classic rock band in every state now, I think. definitely not every state, but we've seen a lot of different classic rock bands. A lot of campgrounds, you know, have them on the weekends. It seems like if there's going to be a live band, it's probably going to be a classic rock.
What are the favorite songs? Are there certain songs that every single like cover band plays?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, Sweet Home Alabama, right? I mean, there's mm-hmm. not a cover band that doesn't play that one. Sweet Caroline.
Nice.
Yes. Let's see. What else? I especially
Is it turned into a big sing-along, like everybody in the whole crowd?
Yes. A lot of the campgrounds, you know, golf carts are really big. So people come and they just sit on their golf carts. So it's like a drive-in concert. And people really, you know, all over the country, but especially here in the East Coast in Pennsylvania and here in New York, we've seen a lot of pimped out golf carts. So that's pretty cool.
But spinning spinning tire rims and stuff.
Yes.
LEDs exactly. Underneath.
Exactly. Oh yeah. Last weekend, you know, when we were in Hershey, they did a 4th of July golf cart parade, and some of the golf carts, you know, had like lights underneath and their wheels have LED lights and very, very fancy. Of course, our kids are like, let's trade in the trailer and get a toy hauler so we can get a golf cart. And I'm like, let's not, let's walk and exercise and
yeah,
get all that energy out. And we're not trading in our brand new trailer. So, yeah, so we enjoyed the band. They played lots of music. I love a good band that will play some Bob Seger. Bob Seger and the Silver Bullets are my favorite. And the Eagles, a lot of them play the Eagles. So that's a lot of fun. And the kids are always like, asking us, like, how do you guys know all these songs? Well, someday you'll know them all too. I feel like
That's right.
The 60s and 70s music is never going to die.
You got to raise those kids right. Not. Teach them all the classic rock songs.
Yes, that is so true. So we've been enjoying the outdoors. We are headed to Lake George in a week or so, which is farther up the Hudson. A big lake that's a big tourist attraction for all over New York and the East Coast, really. Unfortunately, the parks up there get booked really quickly. So we could only get in for 3 days. So I'm actually going to take a week off, which may be news to you. But I thought it was perfect timing because we know that we've got big things coming in August. So I'm going to take the last week off to really spend outdoors with the kids. So we'll have two whole days to explore Lake George. And then in the middle of that week, we will move to Wells, Maine, right on Moody Beach. And we are excited for that as well. We'll get lots of days in at the beach on my time off. I've already been Googling to see where they have gluten-friendly seafood restaurants. And I, of course, found one in Wells that has a dedicated gluten-free fryer, which is really important because a lot of places, they might have gluten-free food, but if they don't have a dedicated fryer and you're getting fried food, if you have celiac, that's like a big no-no. Any cross-contamination. And in a deep fryer, I can't imagine more cross-contamination.
Let's face it, the whole point of deep frying is cross-contamination.
Yes, let's be real. Exactly. So I'm excited. Well, I'm sure we'll go there a couple times because we are staying in Maine for 6 weeks, so we'll be down there for 2 weeks. We'll go up north. Unfortunately, we couldn't get right into Bar Harbor outside of Acadia. We're about a half hour away, but we'll spend 2 weeks up there and visit Acadia and then come back down to Wells again before we head to Cape Cod. So I'm expecting to get lots of gluten-free seafood in that time. This podcast is not about food. It's about being outside. So, one thing that that has changed, and you kind of already preluded to it in your opening, that we, being outside has changed and has kind of become kind of like a joke, like your old school, if you tell your kids to go outside and play. And Jack and I would say we're fairly old school parents. We have always been the go outside and play parents in our old neighborhood. All of the kids always played outside together. And that was actually just, I think, one of the saving graces of COVID, that all those kids could play outside together. You know, we were very much don't go in anybody's houses, don't touch each other as much as possible with little kids. And, but they still got to have that interaction during lockdown. So, we just have always been, if they're, too much energy or fighting with each other or whatever the case is, it's go outside and play and shut the door. Shut the door is always a big one. growing up, my parents were the same way. If it was nice outside, I don't care if it was the dead of winter, you put some clothes on and you go outside and play. We had very mild winters in the Pacific Northwest growing up and even now. So if it was sunny out or not raining, at least, my mom was, I need to clean the house, go outside and play. Or, my parents did a lot of yard work. We always had the house with the really nice yard. Even now, if I tell people where I grew up, They would say, "Oh, the house with the really nice yard." Yep, that's the one. So we spent a lot of out time outdoors at our own house. My brother and I kicking the soccer ball back and forth. I remember one of my core memories is how badly it hurts to kick a soccer ball when your toes are frozen.
So, did you ever make up games with your brother? Like, what were some of the fun games that you used to play when you would go outside and play?
Oh yes, we played cops and robbers a lot. That's for sure. My brother's very much a boy's boy, and so he loved to tie me up or whatever. But we also are a huge sports family. We played sports. We had badminton and we had croquet. And my dad had built us a pretty fancy playhouse that was up on stilts with
Nice.
a ladder. We had a swing set, so we were doing okay. We did make up a lot of games, though. My dad always had rounds of wood, and we would like put them down strategically, so they were like, we were jumping across the lava and stuff like that. So yes, I love that. I watch my kids and they when they're bored in the trailer, they start making up stuff together, and I just think that's one of the best parts of childhood right there. What about you? What was it like to get outside as a child for you?
Well, so I grew up in the kind of mid-80s in Virginia. We were in a neighborhood and had a bunch of friends in the neighborhood. It was like a fairly wooded area, but it was a bunch of like streets that had cul-de-sacs. And we would hardly ever go, walk down the street to get to somebody's house because, obviously if you went through the woods and through people's backyards, it was shorter. So we had all of these trails that we would go, down into the gully and then back up the hill into somebody's backyard. And, we would always blaze through the woods, to get from one place to the next. And, we had these epic games of flashlight tag, when it would be sort of just getting dark and dark. And I think there was this one street that it was down a hill to a cul-de-sac at the bottom. And the inbounds for this was all of the front yards for all of the houses that were down the street and around the cul-de-sac, and we would set up bases, and so we'd be running through their yards, we'd be climbing in and out of trees and going through bushes and all around. And we'd in the summertime on a summer evening, we might have like 20 kids all playing either capture the flag or flashlight tag, running up and down. And then the 1 week out of the year when it would snow, that would just be the best because all the neighborhood kids would get together, and we knew the hills through the woods. So we had a couple of courses that were sledding hills through the woods, down the hill, and then there was one or two streets that they would just freeze over. And of course, they didn't plow in Virginia. So, when it snowed, it was just that it was on the road until it was gone. So there was a couple streets when they would freeze over that they were just like the best sledding hills, using the radio flyers that have the steel runners, and the wooden runners or bases for the sled. So just a big long hill that you can go down and then make a turn and then go through here. And if it's really great, you can make it into the woods, somebody's driveway. And so it was never any issue of like, get out of my yard. It was never
Yes.
that. It was just an expectation that, yeah, the neighborhood kids, they're just going to play in your yard and we're
Yes.
going to play in their
Love that.
yard.
Yes.
And that was, so much fun. And we used to play baseball with a tennis ball. so that like a normal bat and stuff, but with a tennis ball, so we never have to use gloves. And also so that if it bounced off of something, it never, you know, broke anything. So that was easy. And
your dad did not pay for a window.
And there was a little field that we'd played tackle football in, and you know, of course we weren't wearing helmets or anything like that. And but you know, when you play tackle football as a kid, you learn how to tackle somebody and fall down. Of course, you learn how to tackle and not hurt the person or yourself, and then you also learn how to tackle hard if it's somebody you don't like.
yes.
And but you know, usually you let them down easy. But yeah, you know, being a kid was rough and tumble back in the day, and somehow we all survived. You know, we weren't wearing helmets when we were riding our bikes. But well, I have to say, I would never in my life now, like even touch a bicycle without wearing a helmet. So I'd say that's a pretty good improvement, that we've gotten to in society in terms of normalizing riding a helmet with things like bicycles.
Yes.
But you know, different days.
Yes. Well, I have to say that your childhood growing up in Williamsburg sounds like literally amazing. It sounds like a movie to me. Like, you know, I grew up in a small town, and but until I was 10, we lived, like I said, we lived in I wouldn't call it the boonies, but we did live out of town. So not a lot of kids around, but my parents were great about carting us around. And my brother and I were also pretty good at picking friends who had same age siblings. So, you know, we, like our friends, Dan and Kate, lived a few miles down the road.
And those friends, they had a creek. And one of our favorite pastimes, my friend Kate and I, was to jump into the creek and see how far down into the mud we could sink. And one time I jumped in and a stick went right between my toes and just, you know, I thought for sure had went all the way up to my kneecap, you know, as a child. and her mom was a physician's assistant, luckily. So, you know, doctor on staff as we come up the hill and I'm hobbling across the deck and I'm like, I don't want to get blood on your mom's deck. My mom would not have wanted me to get blood on anything, even our concrete. So I was like, you know, don't want to get mud, or I don't want to get blood on the deck. And her mom, of course, was like, oh, come on, get in the house. Let's wash it off and get you bandaged up. You know, and then another time we were not following the rules and we were not all four of us, siblings supposed to be on the trampoline there at the same time. It was supposed to be two at a time. And, my brother and I landed incorrectly and I broke my wrist. So yes, this was the house that Kaylin learned many lessons. And then they also had this pond that was just kind of nasty, as most ponds in the Pacific Northwest are. And I remember her and I decided to get on an inner tube once and we were just kind of floating on the edge. And of course our brothers came over to mess with us, and pushed us out into the pond, which of water we did not want to touch with our actual limbs. So then we had to paddle our way back to the shore. And I remember we were both just horrified. But you know, when we were there, I feel like, you know, we went out and we came back when we came back. And, if it was dark outside, it was time to come in. And, just a really great, like, humble experience to be in this space where you can just have freedom as a kid, you know? I feel like we've kind of taken away freedom from kids these days. They don't get the freedom to go outside and come home when the street lights come on. They have to have a watchful eye over them at all times. And you know, it's the question is are we doing the right thing by raising our kids that way? I know a lot of people say no, that we're turning them into, you know, babies, for lack of a better word, you know, that they're not going to be as strong as previous generations. And, you know, you and I have asked ourselves, like, is that the right thing? And is it necessary? And, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I feel like growing up, you know, my mom was really cautious about things. She, you know, if we were going somewhere, it was always had to be with more than one person. I wasn't going to be out walking around town or the big campground that we were a part of, you know, by myself. But if there was another girl there exactly my age, then it was totally fine, because there is power mm-hmm. in numbers. and right. Jack and I kind of take the same stance with our kids as well. You know, I don't want Owen necessarily out running around by himself, but if he makes friends with a group of kids or a couple kids, you know, we do give him the freedom to go fishing with them or to go, you know, to the jump pad like is here with his friends, or just whatever else they do. I'm really not even sure what they do. He's just out, you know, they're play baseball or kickball, and he just really has, over the last year or so of this journey, he's gotten to you know, have a little bit of freedom in his life to go out and make friends. He's gotten really good at just, you know, you want to play with me or vice versa. If you just walk up, he tells me a lot of times, like here, he says, everybody's really nice here. You know, everybody just asks me when they see me if I want to play with them. And of course he, is a 9-year-old with a cell phone, which I know not everybody loves, but it is something that gives his mother peace of mind. And I can look and see where he is. And, you know, if I call him, he's expected to answer. Mm-hmm. And of course our little two, Malia she can go with Owen, as long as, you know, they're together and she stays with her brother, and she's not allowed to come home by herself or anything like that. He needs to bring her home. And then Mason is definitely still at the age where mom and dad need eyes on him for the most part. You know, we let him go outside the trailer and play with his cars and trucks and stuff. Well, we have the door, the window open, and can hear him playing. This week, luckily, we're right by the playground, which is really nice because they can go over there, they can play with other kids, and I can see them while I'm washing the dishes or whatever I'm doing, budgeting or whatever. I mean, I still have a direct line of sight to them. I don't let them play, you know, too long by themselves. I spend a lot of time at the park and the jump pad this weekend. And I had some interesting experiences, because I think there's definitely two very different types of parents in the world. And then there's obviously the people that are down the middle and not, you know, overbearing or underbearing, you know. So I was at the park with them on Saturday, and there was a little girl there with her dad, who I'm guessing was probably 4 or 5, the same age, around the same age as my kids. She seemed like a very intelligent girl, like very with it, not delayed at all by any means. And her dad was just on her the entire time. We were at the park, and where are you? Where are you going? And it was a good sized park. There's two different play sets with like individual chip, you know, garden or whatever you want to call it. And then they have this big long wooden train that has, I think, like 5 cars to it. It's pretty cool, especially for a campground, you know? And mm-hmm. she went over to that train that's kind of set back from where her dad was sitting. And he got up, made her come back over to him and ask if she could go to the train in the same playground. And then he was like, well, since you did that, we're going to leave. And I'm talking like maybe 30 feet away from him, inside the playground, still mm-hmm. on a play train, a train. And I am just was, I, you know, to each their own, absolutely. But to me, that was like, you've got to give kids some freedom. They've got to have some freedom somewhere. They're never going to be able to make their own decisions or make friends right. without your input, you know? And I just am not that way, you know? At the pool, my kids can go and play and hang out with other kids and families, and same as the playground. Like, I want to, you know, have eyes on you and see generally where you are, but you definitely don't need to be within arm's reach at all times. How has it been for yeah. you with you know, parenting and your kids? You know, you're almost an empty nester at this time, so you've got a lot more experience than I do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I it's definitely, kids need to be able to make their own decisions about things and sort of discover things on their own and, you know, have a little bit of free range. I'm trying to remember back things like playgrounds. You know, for me, it would be 10 years ago or 15 years ago on playgrounds. We would get out there, and there, I guess there was some sort of a pivot point where it was mostly that the kids wanted us to play with them for a while, but then at some point they didn't want us to play with them. Like, they would want to play with each other or other kids that they sort of found or their friends that they were with at the same time. I guess that was sort of the transition point, because when they're real little, they want mom or dad to be right there, but then they sort of go beyond that. And I'm thinking of like, the places that are like those adventure kind of climber kind of places. Myself kind of climbing through and playing with them and then not. So, yeah. And then of course, when they get to be sort of teens and older, then it's a question of how much they can go out on their own. I remember, you know, oh, can I go to the mall and walk around the mall with my friends? And there was a couple times where I was kind of like, the very first times we let our kids walk around the mall with their friends, like, I was being sort of like a stalker. I was like walking along behind them, like 40 feet away, like keeping them in eyes length and walking around behind them and wondering if I was going to get picked up by mall security for stalking my own kids.
Yes.
It's like, Dad, stop.
Yes.
Can we walk around town by ourselves? And so we got to a level of comfort where we would let them go down into like downtown Olympia or something, which, you know, parts of downtown Olympia seem pretty sketchy and parts of it not. So I guess it was maybe like 15 years old, I guess, would be maybe the point where it's like, okay, go walk around downtown with your friends and it's no big deal. But
yes,
from it in my, when I was a kid, it was probably more like 12 when I would have been allowed to go walk around town with my friends by myself. So it was definitely a few years younger. And then, of course, when my dad was talking to us, he was like, yeah, I was 6 years old taking the L train down to Chicago.
Yes, downtown
Buying
Chicago.
Hot dogs for a nickel. And you know, I was a plumber at age 5. And
yes. Oh, my gosh. Your dad's childhood is definitely way different than ours.
And then his dad's childhood, he was hopping boxcars at age 5.
Yes.
I guess it was more like 5th grade when he was like leaving home and, you know, traveling across the country to go find work or whatever. So, you know, it's funny too, because I think about cell phones. And so now we have tracking devices, right, that we just put on our kids.
Right.
So we can GPS locate them anytime that we want to. So you would think that would allow for more independence. But I wonder if parents think of it that way. You know, are parents actually giving their kids more independence, even though they have them like wired to within, you know, 3 feet on the planet? Does it actually make them want to track them closer? I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, I do see a lot of kids roaming the campground here. You know, I don't have teenagers yet, but there's definitely groups of teenagers. You know, and I think one of the things that always makes me feel more secure is when we're at a campground where there's a gate. You know, and a lot of people live in gated communities now too. And it just, it's like one of those things I think that's become normal is having your family, behind a gate, and it gives you kind of a little bit of peace of mind. You know, so it's funny when if we pull into a private campground or like a state park, and you know, it's just anybody can come and go. I find myself being much more, stringent with my kids about what they can and can't do, and, you know, making sure that they're not leaving the campsite without one of us, or, you know, at least having one of us be within very close proximity to them. You know, there's been some campgrounds where I haven't even let my kids play outside, of course. Especially Las Vegas. That campground, definitely not letting my kids play outside. There was a gate, but I still wasn't going to let my kids play outside. So I think that, you know, like I said, I think there's still parents that are on both ends of the spectrum when it comes to giving their kids freedom. And a lot of people, even with like the younger kids now, you know, they give them watches to track them. I know lots of full-time RV families, their kids have Apple watches or Samsung watches, so that they can still call them and they can track them. And Jack and I have even considered that for our little ones. But, you know, we really don't let them go away from us without – Malia doesn't go without Owen, and he's got his phone. So it's just been one of those things that we've actually been starting to discuss here a little bit more, because we're going to get down to Florida, and I've just heard that Florida's kind of a different beast when it comes to full-time families, because there's just so many kids. And I don't want my kids to ever feel left out or like I don't trust them or something. So the watches for the little kids might be where we're headed. We're going to see how the summer goes and their maturity levels and such, and consider that. But, you know, I am very much a free range parent. As much as I can be, before leaving Washington, I've referenced that we stayed with my dad for a long time, and my dad lives in the middle of nowhere, which is amazing. And, you know, I would let my kids go out into the woods and build forts or do whatever without us being right there, because I felt safe, and I felt like they, you know, they know enough that they're not going to hurt themselves, and they can be out there and experience that fun stuff that I think you know, the generations before them had a lot more opportunity to do.
I think every kid, it ought to be like a human right for kids to be able to build a fort in the woods.
Yes.
I just like some of my best childhood memories, I think, are building forts in the woods and that kind of stuff. It's like, I like that is just, that is the essence of childhood, it seems like. And now I guess it's, you know, building a fort in Minecraft. And I just don't think it's the same.
That is not the same at all. You know, my son has a Switch, and he's obviously got his phone too, and we've got so many devices in this house, I feel like. But, you know, we try to limit the amount of video games and screen time, and that's go play outside.
Yes. Go outside and play. Well, I think we all need it now more than ever. You know, talk about building community. It's great to have community online. It's great to interact. It's nice that you and I can talk from different parts of the country and do this stuff. It's nice that we can listen to podcasts, but there is just no replacement for, you know, getting out and seeing people. We've got Lake Fair coming up in Olympia this coming weekend, and Nick is all excited. He's going to Lake Fair like with some friends tonight. They'll walk around and, you know, eat junk food and ride on rickety little rides that they, you know, hopefully bolted together well earlier in the day. And that's life, man. That's what life is about, going out and doing the thing and, you know, being interacting and being in a crowd. And just hope that we never kind of lose that. And, you know, outdoors, you get lots of fresh air. It's good for you.
Yes, we all need vitamin D. And the best way to get that is by being outside in the sun. Make sure you put your sunscreen on, but it's so good for your physical and your mental health to be outside. You know, when I find myself, you know, dragging throughout the day, I get our black lab Walter and get his leash on and go for a quick walk to you know, shake off that midday slowdown. And it just changes your whole feeling for the day and your perspective on the day, just by getting that serotonin moving through that little bit of exercise and sunlight, you know, and like you were saying, it's such a great way to connect to be outside. You know, I have always loved going to festivals and that kind of thing. My parents always took us to the fair. And I try to do those kind of things with our kids too. You know, it seems like at least once or twice a month during the summer, we've always taken our kids, you know, to the salt water. We're very lucky in Western Washington to be literally surrounded by the salt water. And some places, especially like where you live, you can go to the sound or you can go to the ocean and within, you know, an hour to be able to spend quality time with your family. And we did that a lot at home. So we were really looking forward to getting back to to Maine. We haven't been there yet. And get back to the salt water and be able to have some family time at the beach.
Yeah. Yep, that all sounds really good. So I think for all of our listeners, if you haven't gotten it yet, the message here is go outside and play. Hopefully you've been outside and playing and walking and running while you listen to this podcast. But if not, it is time to do it. So hey, Kaylin, always a pleasure talking to you. Catch you soon.
Yes. All right, I'll see you soon.